Guys, we have a problem. Recent studies have shown that testosterone levels are falling in American men. Low T is linked to depression, low sex drive, and weight gain, so it's important to stay on top of it. You could go to a TRT clinic, but it's expensive, awkward, and in most cases, not necessary. You just need to stimulate your body's own natural testosterone production. It's time to check out the ultimate test stack at LegacySubs.com. The majority of testosterone release occurs while you sleep, which is why the Ultimate Test Stack features their best-selling sleep aid recovery PM. Test X9 stimulates testosterone, T-Assist inhibits estrogen, and recovery PM gives you the best night's sleep you've ever had. You're gonna feel like a new man after trying the Ultimate Test Stack for 30 days. If you don't believe me, check out all the verified 5-star reviews on Top Rated. Legacy Sports Nutrition is founded by 3-time world champion and SmackDown general manager, Mr. Nick Aldis, and 11-time women's champion and future Hall of Famer, Mickie James. And they personally use these products themselves. If you need more assurance, they're NSF certified, third-party lab tested, and made in the USA in an FDA inspected facility. And because you listen to this show, you can save 10% off your order at LegacySubs.com now by using Gabby at checkout. That's G-A-B-B-Y. That's LegacySubs.com. LegacySubs.com. It's time to level up with Legacy.
It's about to get Gabby AF.
We about to get Gabby AF, Gabby AF. We about to get Gabby AF, Gabby AF. It's nothing less, cause you rocking with the best. Now we about to get Gabby AF.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Gabby AF. I'm very, very excited about the guest we have on this week because she was one of my first like actual friends that I had made in the business because she's such a genuine soul and she's one of my favorite people. You guys know her as Lady Frost, and I would love to welcome her right now to Gabby AF. Lady Frost, hello. How are you today?
What's up? I miss you. I wish we were doing this in person.
I know.
But it's awesome to be here. Thank you for having me.
Of course. I have been waiting to kind of get you on. And, you know, you're one of my favorite people ever. I miss you as well. I know. I got to see you in Philly, but I feel like that wasn't enough time. We talked for like 5 minutes and then things were just insanely crazy. So I was like, we didn't even get to talk as much as I wanted and catch up. But you're also a busy lady.
I'm pretty busy lately, yes.
trying to even get you down for this interview, we were like going through times and stuff because you're all over the place in a good way, of course, because we're seeing you on AEW TV a lot, and which makes me excited because I've always known how amazing you are. I met you when you were working with, well, Impact, now TNA, which is so funny to see how far you've come, but like, you know, you just had that incredible match with Deonna. And I feel like when I told people I was having you on and my producer, they were like, damn, she's like really good. I was like, I know she's really good. She knows she's really good. And I know you're friends with Deonna. Like, talk a little bit about like that match. And were you proud of it? Were you happy about it?
I was going to say, that's your girl, your Jersey girl.
Jersey girl. I love her. She's feuding with some of my favorite people. So she's making it tough for me, but I love her.
So, yeah, I feel like without being too you know, personal, they're some of my favorite people too. And I think Deonna's fantastic. And the wild thing is, you just mentioned meeting me during my time in Impact TNA. Mm-hmm. Deonna was my first match there.
Wow.
Yeah, she was, I think she was the champ at the time there. But she was great, obviously, to work there. And I was proud of our match. I think, you know, every match you learn something, you grow. Fans get to see something different. And I think that they've seen me a little more consistently that they're like, oh, okay. Lady Frost is like kind of talented. So I'm like, hey guys. Hey, yep. That's nice to see. But yeah, it was a good match. Good segment. Rampage after Collision. But hopefully more fans are aware of what I can do.
I mean, seriously, you've been at it now. How many years have you been wrestling?
So I'll just meet in the middle because technically I have 2 debut dates, but I'm about 6 years.
Wow. So honestly, it's not that long for you to have been to be where you are now, which is kind of amazing. And I want to start from the beginning with you because I know this because we, the first time we met, we had these deep discussions and we kind of just clicked right away. Before we get into kind of impact and what you're doing in AEW and your goals and stuff, kind of tell my audience like how you came about to be a pro wrestler. How did you get into it? Did you grow up a fan? Kind of discuss, you know, your origin story of becoming the pro wrestler that you are today.
So I will go all the way back. Yeah. My grandfather was a professional wrestler.
Amazing.
He most notably tagged with Bruno Sammartino.
Wow.
He held a title in NWA. But it was like very hush hush back then. It was like super secret. So I didn't really get to experience a lot when I was real young. I went to like a couple house shows, when they came to Pittsburgh. And then that was it. Like, I did my own thing. I was an athlete, a gymnast, fitness instructor, all of that. And then I met my husband. He was a mixed martial artist. He was training for pro wrestling. And he had his first match. And, like, he applied for a WWE Extra Loop. And I had just started, like, managing him, walking him out, valeting, whatever. Like, I had no idea about the business. Like, no freaking idea. And I was like, I'm not filling that out. Like, no. And he's like, just put your name in. So, long story short, they accepted us both. We were in Pittsburgh and Ohio, and Monday Night Raw in Ohio, they needed an extra, and they brought me in the ring, and they were, like, testing me out, and I had, like I said, no idea. I didn't have wrestling shoes, gear, anything. They gave me a live promo on television, first time ever, because this was before COVID era, right, where people were debuting on TV. So I was an unknown, untrained wrestler, cut a promo, had a squash match with Asuka before Mania.
Oh my gosh, that's amazing.
Yeah, and she was incredible. It was a wild, wild experience. But that was my first match, and I was not a wrestler yet, which is even crazier.
That's crazy.
Yeah, they probably, like, hate me for saying this because they're like, God damn it. But, but yeah, then I finished training. Technically, June was my first match on the Independence. So I went from debuting in front of, like, 14,000 people to working the indies in, like, you know, fair shows with, like, 20 people changing in a box truck, right? Like, it was real humbling.
That's crazy. That's kind of amazing because, like, I always like to find out how people started because you have the people that grew up, like, diehard fans and they knew they wanted to do this and they started training right when they could. And then you have the people that kind of, like you said, that's amazing. Your grandfather was a wrestler, so you knew about it, but didn't even know if that was going to be your journey.
Right.
And I know you had a lot of bumps in the road as well, because we've talked about this, and you've kind of had some time. You told me that you were like, I don't even know if I want to keep doing this, which I think a lot of people have had that moment and have had that time where it's not an easy, you know, business to get into, and you're not going to snap your fingers and be doing your dream. Like, that's just not how it works.
Right.
So take me back to that time when you kind of had that mindset, and then take me into the positives of what changed that for you. Like, what was the moment maybe for you where you were like, no, I'm not going to stop and I'm going to keep going because of where you are now? Obviously you're not stopping. So take me back to that. I know it's a little bit painful, but I would love to hear it.
I think anyone that's insanely passionate about anything that they do or love, it comes with heartaches along the way, right? It's not easy. Anything that you throw all of yourself into or become invested in, it's very emotional, it's personal, it's physical. Wrestling takes over so many aspects of our life and our bodies. And I think I was at a place where I was physically unable to wrestle, and I was never public about that on the internet. Like, no one knows what happened, you know, with my time. And that's for me to know. And whatever. So I was out with an injury, and then things happen, and I was unable to get my release. And I was like, I feel like I didn't maybe have enough to offer the industry at the time. I don't know what it was. I was very, very down on myself. I didn't know if I just didn't feel good enough, or it had taken so much from me that it wasn't worth it. I wasn't sure, but I was doing a whole lot of nothing and sitting on the couch, and that doesn't help anything. So I was unable to work out. I was just very bummed, and I didn't have, you know, a great support system at the time that, you know, I never really had like cheerleaders that were like, this is what you're meant to do. This is what you're doing. This is how you get in. This is, there was no blueprint, right? I had this crazy like start to the business, and the ups and downs were wild for me. I had great success. I had no success. And I went to the NWA and then Impact within 3 years of wrestling, right? Which is very, very early to be thrust into all of those things. So yeah, I was just very reluctant to say that I wanted to do this for a living anymore. There was no money. There was no anything. It was not fun, clearly, and it's not supposed to be fun all the time. But I got a call from CMLL. And that's what changed everything. That was one of my bucket list items. And I'll never forget the day before, I told my husband, I was like, I'm done. Like, I'm going to sell my gear. Like, I'm good. And literally the next day I got the phone call and I was like, what the, you know what I mean? Like,
of course, I was like, crazy how things happen.
So I literally was like, maybe I'll just quit after Mexico because I really want to go to Mexico. Right.
Yeah.
And then I went there and I think a lot had changed about my attitude, because I had more of like, I don't care what you think of me. This is somewhere I want to be. And I'm not trying to be what anyone wanted, right? I'm not trying to lean into anything that I think would get me over, make me money, get me it. Like, I wanted to wrestle there. That's it. So I went there and I fucking wrestled. And I know I had like dark gear and I wasn't all like in a cloak. It was a Grand Prix. So we're in different clothes and it wasn't about a persona, a gimmick, a character. It was just like, they watched me wrestle and the fans responded, right? And it was the first time I felt like I was wrestling and there was nothing else and the fans were cheering. They liked and appreciated what I was doing. And I was like, okay, wow, I do belong here. I can wrestle. I can hang with the best. I couldn't speak Spanish. It's literally fight or flight. Like, you can hang or you can't. They're tough. They're some of the best. There's no talking while you're in there. Your body speaks for you. You just have to work. And it was the first time that I worked, I feel like. And then I did a whole tour. You do five shows in 7 days in four different cities. I went back for a second tour. I won a tournament there. And that was it. It was like, all right, I belong here. I'm one of the best. I will keep getting better. But I feel like that moment solidified for me that I have something to offer and I have a lot to offer.
I would think so. I mean, look at where you are now. It's kind of such an amazing journey and it's so relatable because I feel like anyone in any realm of anything, you have those doubts about what you're doing. I mean, I know I have, you know, you get laid off or you get released or you're not happy. And, you know, your mental health is so important when it comes down to that. Because at the end of the day, you're the one laying your head on your pillow every night.
Right.
And you're the one living out your life. So, you know, you need to make those changes and have those moments where you feel good about yourself. Because the more down that you are, you're just going to spiral into it. And like, I've been there. So I definitely relate to that feeling. But like, how crazy of like a karmic moment that you got that call when you were like, oh, I'm going to be out. Like, that was a sign for you.
It was.
That had to be a sign.
It was, because that was the one place that I really felt like I would, I don't want to say fit, but obviously with my style and lucha training, that was something that really was important for me. And I think it's important to go back to what you love and what you fell in love with, what makes you happy, what makes you tick as a wrestler, right? Like, there are so many different styles and flavors of ice cream and, you know, we can pretend to do a lot of things. My body naturally does lucha, right? Like, it's just, it makes sense. It feels good. It's, and you want to feel good about the work that you put out because people are going to watch that. This is our body of work forever. And I didn't want people to look back and be like, oh, she was, you know, you want to feel proud. You want to feel happy. Right. I want to go to bed knowing that I did it the right way. And you know, I had to make amends and do some things and learn and grow because there's a lot that I didn't know or understand. It's a very unique business where you're on eggshells often, right? So different personalities and artists are crazy, right? Like, artists are eccentric, eclectic. We have all of these things and ideas and highs and lows without wrestling, right? So, it's a lot to navigate, especially only a few years in the business when you don't have a mentor, like holding your hand through everything. And everyone has a different journey, but you know, mine's certainly been interesting, but I'm happy that obviously I didn't quit.
Yeah. Well, I'm happy too, because I love you so much.
I love
you. So you speak about mentors. So you don't have, even now, is there anyone kind of like a veteran in the business that you do turn to a little bit now that you've been in it for a little bit longer? Or is it kind of like, now that you're in it, you're kind of in your own mindset, and because you have such a unique style, there's not?
I definitely don't believe in that. I have literally the best freaking wrestlers and minds in the business surrounding me. I have people like Pac and Ospreay and Swerve, Adam freaking Copeland, Chris Jericho, like all of these people, Jerry Lynn, Scotty Too Hotty, like it's insane the talent that I'm surrounded by. So I always ask someone like, so JD Drake's one of my favorite examples. They call him the workhorse. He is so gifted, right, at just breaking down matches for me psychology wise, because he doesn't do any flips, right? And I'm the flippy person. So I want to ask people that have a different mindset about going about things. How can I set this up? How can I get to the next place? How can I make this believable enough? And I have to ask people in different styles. You can't just ask luchadors, right? Like,
right.
Moves are awesome and spectacular. Great. I want to be known for that. But fundamentally, I have to be sound to get to the next place, right? And there are so many matches that need to pull something else out of you. Right? Like, of course I want to do a TLC match. Like, I'm dying to have one of these matches. I want to brawl, right? But like, of course I want to flip from somewhere like really fucking high. That's what I do. But but I have to talk to people that have 30, 40 years in the business, and why this continues to be a business, why this is my job. And it's not because of Lucha, right? Unless I'm in Mexico, right? It's very, very different. But I try to blend everyone's suggestions and grow literally in every match. That's all.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure you have to be adaptable too, because anybody you're facing, it's not their style and they do different kinds of things. So you have to, like I said, have that chemistry with somebody and make it look like a coordinated, beautiful dance while you're out there. And if that's not, if their style is not your style, you kind of have to adjust yourself. So that makes total sense that that's how you kind of have to move your mindset around. But you
honestly,
just listed like,
I was going to say that was my biggest challenge. Recently I've wrestled, I can go through like the whole roster of women that I've wrestled that have insanely different styles. Every single female has a different style, a different character. And I feel like I've had to adapt and level up to each and every one of them. And I haven't really had a, my style kind of match, right? Like we've seen bits and pieces. But I feel like I've had to match everyone else to prove that I can kind of do it all. I'm very well rounded. But like, wait till I ball out. Wait till you see me, you know, in my element.
Who's, speaking of that whole roster of women that you have faced against, who's your favorite? Like, who do you have the most fun in the ring wrestling, or have had the most fun with?
The most fun right now was the Thunder Rosa match. Like, we just, we vibe, she's down for whatever. We'll just brawl, we'll fight, beat the fuck out of each other. We'll do Lucha. She's like, I'm gonna do some crazy shit. I'm like, let's go. You know, I love someone that's kind of down for anything. And we have like a great fight chemistry, but she's, you know, she's incredible. I think she has that with a lot of people. Good wrestlers can wrestle anyone.
Right.
I've had some fun matches. I can't say that like I know, because I've been a little short, but
yeah.
You know, you take what you're given, try to make the best of it. Chris Stat is great. I'd love to have like a long one, run that back. But yeah, even Mariah was a blast. We had only worked one other time. She's fun too. So these last couple matches I've had recently have been, I think, the most fun.
Yeah. And I mean, in AEW right now, I feel like the women's division's only getting bigger and stronger with the addition of a lot of people and kind of the storylines of what they're doing. You have Willow, who's the new champion now, and she's going to be facing, you know, no big deal, Mercedes Moné, which is now in AEW.
No big deal.
No big deal. Are you, you know, I would love to see you in the title run at some point, obviously. I think it would be super exciting. Who are, I don't know if you've ever faced Mercedes, probably not, but like, is that, what has she now brought to the locker room in the women's division in AEW, and like, how excited are you to hopefully get in the ring with her at some point while you guys are both there?
I am amped. Yeah. I pray that I get that chance. And I would love to be in title contention, whichever way it takes me to get there. Mm. And I'm definitely starting from the bottom. You can't say that, you know, I just got thrust in anything. But I'm waiting for that day for sure. She's obviously brought a different set of eyes, a different set of critiques and trolls on the internet.
Oh yeah, unfortunately. But that comes with the territory, right, though.
And that's not a bad thing because it gets people talking. Good or bad, yeah. It gets people talking because then people want to come to your aid and your defense also. And it brings out good and bad passion, I guess. But yeah, I'm really looking forward to if and when that happens.
Well, I would love to see it. I think that would be a great match because we haven't seen her in the ring since she's been in AEW yet. So I'm just excited to see the kind of power she brings.
Yeah.
And I think Willow's also awesome.
Like, for sure.
I really kind of like what they're doing now. And yeah. I would love to see you in the ring with Willow as well because I feel like you guys would kick the shit out of each other a little bit. Because
We had a match early, I want to say like a year and a half ago in Ring of Honor. Mm. And it was a blast. And we had worked one other time only. And that's the thing. So a lot of people don't understand, like, the more you work with someone, the more you get to understand their right. body. It's just like a relationship. All of these people that I've come into work the last year and a half, I'd had zero or one match with. So a lot of people have worked each other over and over and over, right? But I've just had like one-offs with like the whole roster that I had never touched before. And some of these are last minute, right? Like they're just getting the show starting and they're like, okay, who do we have? Who's here? And I feel like I always show up. I'm always ready to do whatever. And that's one thing that just, I want to be that person that's like, whatever you need. Right? Because it's gotten me into this position where I think I'm reliable enough to have a match with just about anyone. But it's also like, I've only had one match with these people. Wait till I have two or three or four, yeah. right? You work someone a few times sure. and then it's game over because you get to understand how they operate and how you can counter or, you know, form a game plan.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, the more you, like, study someone and the more you're, like, actually in there with them, you're like, oh, they can kind of do this, though, and I can have fun with them doing this. And, like, oh, they could take that. Like,
yeah.
It's kind of cool. And you both have to work as a team to make the match look good. Like, it's not one person who wants to look good and the other person trying to make them look like shit because that doesn't right. help anybody. But you just seem like – I'm just so happy talking to you because, like, you just seem so happy now in AEW, which is, like, just such a – cool thing for me because you're my friend and I love to like exude it. So like that's my simple question, like are you just so happy there? Like why do you feel so good being in that company?
I am happy, actually. I feel like I'm very, very blessed to get to do what I love to do every single week, be on the road with like awesome freaking people. Like we have great women in the locker room, mm-hmm. we have great men, we have great coaches, a great boss. It's laid back enough that it doesn't feel, you know, like, oh shit, every day. That's not a good mm-hmm. feeling. I don't want to walk on eggshells. I don't feel like I need to be something other than what I am. Do I want to be better every day? Absolutely. But I don't feel like I need to change who I am to be appreciated or to get recognized, I suppose.
That's kind of a big deal, though, because a lot of places try to be like, oh, this is like what you like, but we don't like it. So do this.
Yeah.
And then you're just kind of pretending in a sense.
Right.
And like you don't ever want to. I know pro wrestling is obviously scripted or whatever, but like you don't want to be pretending either. You kind of right. want to give in to what you're doing. And I think a lot of people don't understand that aspect of it. If you don't identify with who you are, I'm sure it's so hard to connect with the audience. In right. that way.
And you I know. Think that was one of my struggles early on, because it was just like, I was such a plug and play and still am. I was a heel. I was a baby. I was a heel. I was a baby. So like, I didn't understand my place. The fans didn't understand what they should do. Right. So it was very, right. But it's just like, where do I fit? Where am I needed? Where can I offer the most? And I think the past few weeks I've been a baby face and just getting into what that feels like for me as a wrestler. It's different. I did a lot of heel work, a little like dark, cold aspect of Lady Frost. And that's what I leaned into heavy because that's what I could relate to. It's not a character, a gimmick, a Mortal Kombat, an anime. Like, no, right. it's a way of life. It's a mindset. It's not an anime character. I don't know how else to describe that. And I think that's going to be shown later on, if I get to cut promos, if I get to explain like what it is to me, and you know, I just do up the entrance so much that I feel like people are just like, oh, there's Elsa. And it's like, no, I just really love presentation gear. Yeah. I was big into entrances when I started falling in love with wrestling. Even when I watched when I was younger, like, I'm an entrance gal. Like, give me an entrance. Let me feel something right when you walk out of that curtain. I want to feel like a superstar's coming out. That's just me.
Yeah. Hell yeah. Like, I think that's such a big deal, because especially if people know you and love you, that's a big deal. But if people don't know who you are and you have a big entrance, it's kind of like, oh shit, I should know who this person is. Like, damn, like they're coming out, like they are a big deal. Like that's huge.
Yeah. And I think a certain pride goes into, you know, I get it. We all start somewhere, but like if you're buying gear on Amazon and your hair's not done, your nail's not done, or you're disheveled looking, like you didn't get your hair cut, your roots done, whatever. Like, I take pride in the package of things, right? It's very much, it's still an aesthetic business. What am I looking at? It doesn't mean that it has to all look the same, or people have to be in this shape or dress like this, look like this. No. But taking care of yourself, I think, is very important for me. And when I come out, I want it to look like a high polished level presentation.
Yeah. I think that's a huge deal.
Yeah.
Like, you know, you could tell the difference between someone who's proud of their appearance and is just there to like be there as well. I think that's a huge, like, you got to fake it till you make it too. That's what my mother always told me. So like, I could be crying every single day, but I'm going to come on this podcast and like pretend like I have my shit together.
Right.
Because then you'll never know the difference.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, listen, I like catering too, but I don't want to sit there every week and do nothing.
No.
You know, to each their own. And some people are happy just working one weekend at their home promotion, and some people want to be world champ.
Yeah. A little bit. She's raising her hand if you can.
That would be me. Tell.
So I know you've said you've been face, you've been heel. Do you prefer one to the other? Like, is one more, you feel like, natural for you?
I definitely feel like I have heel tendencies for sure. In character, cutting promos, like my babyface promos are whew.
You're like the sweetest person. So like for me, I always have to separate the two, because they say too, like the people who have the best heel tendencies, and in my personal experience, the biggest heels, when I meet them in person, they're the nicest people. So I just find it so funny, because I'm blessed to know you people, like you guys, outside of everything. And then so it makes me die laughing when you're like, I have heel tendencies. I'm like, you're like the nicest person I know. But
and maybe that's
so
like,
good that you can convince me that you're
right. And I think that's maybe like, I don't know, I'm not going to be an asshole in real life, so doing it in the ring is like, I get it out, right? Like,
yeah, and that's true.
Yeah. But now I think just because I've had a little momentum as a baby, like hearing Lady Frost chants is like wild. I'm like, oh my, like maybe being a baby face is cool, right? Like,
yeah,
you're cheering for me. And it's, like I said, either side works. It's wherever fits in the narrative of work, right? I think it's important to just lean into whatever you're doing and be present in that, and then it is what it is.
Yeah, I mean, I think babyface is almost like, when you start hearing the people like love you, it's so hard to say like, no, I want to be hated. But I think I would be a heel if I was a wrestler. I just think it's more fun. You can kind of say whatever you want, it doesn't matter. You'll never know if you're really doing that bad of a job, because if they hate you, that's what they're supposed to be doing anyway. But if you're supposed to be a face and they're supposed to cheer you and they're not, you kind of got to be like, shit. Like,
yeah,
there's no reaction.
Like,
it's scary.
There's more pressure, I feel like, being a baby face. Like, you always have to watch what you say and how you present it. Mm-hmm. And as a heel, you're just like, well, whatever. If they don't like it, then great. Don't like it.
Right.
Like,
right.
It's just so.
No reaction. That's what I was going for.
Yeah. Right.
You know what I mean?
Oh, you hate it? Perfect. You liked it? Fine. That's fine too, I guess. I don't care.
That's so funny. Yeah. I mean, I like you either way, but in real life, you're a true baby face. So that's what everyone should know. Listen, I won't tell anybody, just everybody that listens to my podcast.
I hope it's a lot of people, by the way, because I'm so freaking happy for you. And we also, like, you are in the midst of your transition as well. And I know it's complicated. Any big major change is just a lot.
It's crazy.
But you're doing you, and it's going swimmingly.
Thank you. I appreciate it. I think it's wild, and this is why I did want to sit and talk to you, because I feel like when we did start talking. And by the way, you reached out to me right away when I was like laid off going through it, like just sent me a text being like, girl, you're going to be fine, blah, blah, blah. So like, I don't think people realize how much that is important to have in your life when you're going through some shit, is just even just a text or a call from someone that you had one long, you know, emotional conversation with, which is what we did sitting at the bar one day. But, you know, it was very nice of you. And I always appreciate how supportive you are, which is why I say that you are babyface. But yeah, I just did that segment on like TNA last week or whatever. And it was wild, like the amount of people that reached out and were talking to me about it. And you've had your experience and impact. And when I say like that locker room was some of the most sweet, like amazing people I've ever met in my life, people I'm sure you're still very close and friendly with. And even when I went and worked and you were there and I met you, like it's just such a blessing to meet people like you in this business that are truly good human beings. And it's just really cool. And like, that's why I'm so happy for you that I can watch these matches with you and like Deanna, who I know both of you. So I'm sitting there torn because I love you both so much. And I'm like, damn it. You know, it's nice that at least I do love you guys. Yeah. So like, I'm emotionally torn in the match, but you know, you're really making waves, and I will be shocked if by the end of the year, you're not going to be like a common name when it comes to AEW and having those big matches that you want, because you 100% deserve it. You're a beast. Like you really are. Those flips and shit you do, like, I don't know how you do it.
I mean, sometimes me either, but what's wild is like, I feel better than I have in years. Like my body feels.
That's great.
Yeah, I really do. And I think confidence has a lot to do with that, and belief. And now I have people that I can call and ask for honest opinions. And a lot of times, like, I want you to bury me. I want you to say what I did wrong, the details, right. Like my feet, my body, my face, my arms, like what was weird, right? But I also have people that I respect at a very, very high level that get to say good things. And that helps. That's like, holy shit, this person is saying something positive, right? I also would love people, and, you know, it's weird to like say it out loud. I'd rather have someone say, you're a good person, or you reached out in this time of need, mm-hmm. right? Like, that's more important than a fucking moonsault. Like, they're great, right. But I made sure I was like, I'm not asking you to come on this podcast. Do I want to? Absolutely. I'd rather have a regular phone call with you about life. But the fact that I'm here doing it anyway is awesome. I was like, I'll know she'll come around. Like, she'll run out of awesome people to interview and then call
stop. Me. You are awesome.
No. But yeah, I think it's good to be somewhere where you're appreciated and you have great people. And like you said, you had an amazing experience. Everyone has different experiences everywhere, right? And there are great people everywhere. There are great wrestlers everywhere. There's no just like superior anything in one aspect. And that's, I think, the tribalism's fans are like, well, the best wrestling's here and the best thing is this and the best this is. Like, it's everywhere. Just enjoy what you have, and you have so much of it, which is even better. And if you really like one person, go follow them everywhere. Right, if I love someone, I'm following them across the world. I did it with my husband. I did it for wrestling. I moved 3 times, sold my house, did all these things. Like, we just love wrestling. So just love it. Shut up and love wrestling.
Listen, I preach this all the time. I'm like, it's cool to like something and not like something, but like, why do you have to vocalize the negative so much? Like, you don't have to love everything, but if someone's in the ring and they're working, even if you don't like it, why do you have to hate it so much that you're going to pick up the phone and tweet about it? Like, I just never understand, like, if I dislike something, unless it's like really something that's like super impactful or like offensive to me or inappropriate, like, why would I want that wrestler to feel so bad about themselves that they have to like turn off their Twitter or like mute everybody because maybe they had a shitty match or maybe something happened, and mistakes happen all the fucking time. And this is a job.
The thing, right? People don't understand, like, you do this every week. You don't know what I'm going through with my family right now, what someone's 100%. Body feels like, what someone is mentally going through. Did they have 6 flight delays and literally just put their trunks on and just went out to the ring? Yeah. You have no idea what all of those other outside influences are. It's difficult because you're literally exposed. I say this all the time. We're nude. We're bare. I have no clothes on. I'm vulnerable as hell. We all are. Right. And you're picking apart bodies and hair and matches and all of these things over one spot that got a little clunky or whatever. I mean, it's a difficult place to be that vulnerable and be picked apart nonstop. And you have to find a balance. I don't want negative things to take up real estate in my head. I don't want to feel them. I don't want to see them. I don't want to read them. It's in and out. You process that stuff. And I've had a lot of work on myself to, and the other thing is we have great therapists at AEW. So you get to sit in like athletic based, conversations, because I think mental health is different for everyone. And athletes have a weird niche of expectations. I'm very much, I need to be really fucking good at everything I do. Right. So,
yeah.
It adds a different pressure and you're under the microscope, which that's live TV, baby. And we signed up for it and I want it. I want to be someone that can be, you know, if things go hairy, I'm the one that you can be like, all right, get on the mic or go have this match on the fly. Right. People wouldn't expect me to have a match on the fly, but if you need something, I want to be able to deliver. And that's a pressure that comes with a lot of pressure, but I also want to be able to deliver. So, you know, juggling all those things and doing it in the public eyes is a lot for a lot of people.
I'm glad you brought up that vulnerability aspect, especially as a female wrestler, because there was an incident that just happened with someone who I am a big fan of, and that's Sky Blue, where she, you know, those comments were being made about her at the show, during the show. And I thought she handled it way better than I think I would have, in the sense of she still put on an amazing match. She was very upset because she had to even tweet about it later on.
Yeah.
So like, you know, how is that, dealing with that, in the sense that that's someone who I'm sure you might even be close friends with in the company. And like, that's probably happened a lot more than it hasn't happened. And I'm glad that there was a spotlight on it and everyone kind of rallied around her and supported her, especially in the AEW locker room, which I think is huge for her.
Yes. I think that was the greatest thing. The women in the locker room and the fans, men and women. It's very, very important because you are literally just vulnerable and out on display while these things are happening. And you can't just run away. You can't just turn off your phone, right? Mute button, nothing. You're just in it. And I think, you know, I talked to Rachel a lot. She was the other woman in the match and we're great friends. Mm-hmm. And we replay, like, what could I have done? What could I have said? And like, did I do this well enough? And Aubrey as well, who is fantastic. But everyone did everything that they could for a really shitty situation. There's nothing else to be said. I don't want to give that guy any more
100%.
Breath. I just don't. I think women are fantastic. We battle a lot more than a lot of people know. And we put more pressure on ourselves and our body and all of that to begin with. So I think they did a great job. AEW handled it accordingly. Obviously they got kicked out, but I think it was very important for the community to rally and just say like, listen, we got to be better. Whatever it takes, we got to be better. It's not the same as it used to be.
And it's sad that it takes one bad egg to even make that kind of, you know, noise in that sense of that it spiraled the way that it did, because I've been to a million AEW shows and the fans are fucking awesome.
Yeah.
Like they're so into it and they're so great and they're so much fun that it sucks that one rotten egg has to be like, if you don't know anything about it, like see that and be like, oh, so like, is that how all the fans are? Because that's not true whatsoever.
Right.
And you know, there's always going to be those people
in
the crowd. There's always going to be an asshole. Like it's just sad. That's what it is. Normally they're on Twitter and you can mute them or block them.
Right.
So when it happens in person like that, and shout out to Soraya who called him out when she like yelled and was like, this guy's doing saying this or whatever. Cause I love that she did that.
Right.
Cause that's like something that's a Jersey thing. I would have done.
Actually, I was going to say, cause like, I'm like, what would I have done? Like, I feel like I would have been so, I don't know if it was me or if I was Rachel in that situation, right? Like, you get either like super protective over someone or yourself and you're like, what? You just want to like unload on the guy. Who knows? But I think everything happened without more of an incident, major incident, right? And hopefully it doesn't happen again. And I think security is very aware now of like, you know, when women say like, we're uncomfortable, this is making me uncomfortable. It shouldn't go on longer than it has to. It's 100%. A very real thing that, you know, it's, I don't want to say it's different. It's hard for everyone in different ways, right? Like there's sure. no like comparing when it comes to certain things. Like safety is paramount. We just saw the clip of the fan getting in the ring with after Garcia's match. Like it's just,
yeah. oh my God,
people are crazy. People yeah. are freaking crazy. Or, you know, they had too much to drink. It was after a hockey game, whatever. Like Canada was just wilding that night, like, or that week, I guess.
Crazy. Yeah. Listen, mental illness and alcohol, if it mixes together, it's never a good thing. That can happen at a fucking bar. That can happen anywhere with any person. You know what I'm saying? Like, how many times do these wrestlers talk about, you know, the stalking situations yeah. or people that are claiming to be wrestlers asking for money from fans? Like,
I know.
There's crazy people everywhere. So as long as everyone supports each other and keeps it positive in that sense, I feel like we can really fight against that bullshit. If people want to, but I love to see everybody rally around her because she's a young girl.
Yes.
And that's what people, I don't think, understand either. This isn't, you know, it's a lot to handle. Yeah. And she's on a major stage and she's doing these things and
experience, her being. Listen, experience level in wrestling is very different than experience in real life, right?
100%.
Sometimes you get real life emotions and situations that, you know, I have longer amounts of time on the earth than I do
yeah.
right with young teenage girls or even young 20-year-olds. And even wrestling experience can't prepare you for certain moments, or it shakes right. you up at any age or any experience level. But it is important that we rally. That's it. We come together and we support our own, and it is what it is. That's it.
Yeah. I love that mindset. And I'm a rallier for you because I love you so much. And
I'm going to get on this airplane to go to work like all
and feel great.
My head is just.
Whew. Yeah, it's going to be bad when I clip everything and make it super negative so people listen to the podcast. No, I'm just kidding. I would never clickbait it. Come on, say something.
Lady Frost said.
Lady Frost doesn't support women. No, I'm just kidding.
Oh my God.
I would never say that.
Yeah, I was going to say, go back, rewind, delete that sentence.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly. But I always like to end with positivity, obviously. And I ask a lot of the people I interview this because I want you guys to look back on this interview maybe at the end of the year or a year from now and say, like, look how far I've come. Like, what are your goals, your dreams, your aspirations for the year of 2024?
I'm going to go big because I usually never do these and I'm super timid and I'm just like, you know, trucking along. I want to go to Wembley. I want the All Elite graphic and I want to be in title contention or a women's champion by the end of the year.
Madness,
going big, baby.
Shit.
Yep.
Throw it in. And when you are,
we're going to
replay this part of this podcast and be like, remember,
let's
remember,
do it.
Remember when you said that's your goal and now you're there. I love you so much. Thank you for your time today. I know you have to move a lot of stuff around to join me because you are a busy woman. Have fun at work. Thinking about how much fun we had together.
Yeah.
Feel great about yourself because I think you're amazing. And thank you for being a friend to me. Thank you for joining me. Thank you for just being you. And I'm excited to see more from you with AEW this year for sure.
You're incredible. I want all the best for you. Honestly, you deserve all the success. You're freaking awesome. Not only as a person at you are at what you do, which is like the best combo. You want those people to win so much. It comes with a lot of haters, I'm sure, because you're freaking smoking hot, talented, and cool. Man. Like, come on. The whole package.
And single still, by the way.
I know.
I'm just saying.
Listen, you keep that for as long as possible. Because whoever wipes you up, they hit the jackpot.
Listen, we'll see. I always say that the guy out there doesn't know yet that he's about to be hit by, like, a fucking hurricane that is me. So he should take his time now and just enjoy himself because he doesn't even know.
Right, because it's over. It's over for him.
Oh, all right. Well, I love you. Thank you again to everyone listening. We will have another Gabby AF next week. So look forward to that. Until then, LYMNB, love you most. No backs.